Shall I just pray, Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege of being in your house, Lord.
Mr. Burns, that we are in the last age wherein that has happened, which has not happened since the beginning, that it is not only God in the people and God above the people, but God himself with the people. And, Lord, we thank you for that at this hour, so we can walk in the assurance of the power of God, especially to reveal the Word to us and help us that we might have greater assurance than we have ever had before. So, Lord, be with mouth and ear, we pray, and anoint our hearts together. And we carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. I didn't really intend to get up here, and I'm not one to want to be coaxed. I'm too much like the old fire horse anyway. He gets too old to answer the pull the fire engine. Every time he heard the fire bell ring, he struggled to kick up his heels. And I guess I preached for so many years and believe this message that whether I got anything to say or not, I would like to, you know, to say it. Now, this morning the message is going to deal with scriptural chronology of the hour as seen in the beginning of the first church age. Now, I don't know, there's most of you sitting here perhaps have never heard the message Alpha and Omega, which I preached, I suppose, 8-9 years ago, and it would be wise for you to get the tape unless I were to preach it again, because it shows you that everything that happened must happen again. There is nothing that has not already been done, but must be done again. We took it from Genesis clean to Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, that is one of the strong points that God reveals concerning himself. I am Alpha and Omega. He does not say anything. I am what goes in between. As Brother Branham explained, Alpha is the alphabet, A and Omega, the letter Z. In other words, I am all of it. My expression was that if a board has two ends, and if it's got two ends, it's got a middle. So the dimensions are always concerning the ends. And what is from end to end, of course, lies there before you. And Brother Branham said that it's not so much what's in between, it's what's at the end, and you've got to watch. So if we go into beginnings, we've got to then automatically find an ending. And if the Alpha is Omega, then the end will be identical to the beginning, such as in the resurrection. If Jesus Christ is the first fruit, which is Alpha, the Omega must be every single resurrected person that's in the image of Jesus Christ in the first resurrection. That's why there's two parts to the first resurrection. Jesus came out of the graves and the dead bodies followed him. They weren't dead any longer. And now the same thing happens that the scripture says God will bring forth with Jesus, that Jesus must be brought forth, placed at the head of the church in order to bring forth the dead. It's the same as the pillar of fire that came to bring the word of God to the apostle. If he is Omega, the pillar of fire has to occur again. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way you can get away from it. One of the secrets of the Bible is understanding that Alpha is Omega. Now, what we're going to do this morning, and I hope I can do it quickly to get some points across and not take too long, because we're going to get several chapters, literally, and I won't cover them all, is we're going to go to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, I want you to see a scripture here. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I challenge you. Show me one minister that dares to make that statement, and I'll confine his soul to hell because he's a liar. Now, go ahead. We've got folks that come in and argue about this message. Show me a preacher. Show me one man that had the spiritual fortitude and the ability to stand up and make that statement. How do you know you're following Christ? I can prove this morning that some of your best intentions have been... Some of the things that you thought were your finest moment were your rottenest. Just like a lot of marriages. You thought that was your crowning day. That's the day they should have buried you. That's why I preach funeral sermons and never marry anybody, because the dead don't come back and complain. But the living do. Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Now, Paul must have known something, and he wasn't putting this in the superlative, that I am a man who never makes a mistake. I'm a man who is infallible within myself. He was telling them that he knew how to go to God for every answer. And he could set the church right. Now, you show me a group of men, I don't care how smart they are, how anointed they are, how powerful they are, you let them go together, let alone one man, and the more, the worse it gets, and can say, here, I can get answers. Now, if that's Alpha, there's got to be an Omega. I don't care what anybody says. If the first church age had an apostle, had a man that was so anointed, so directly in touch by the lip to the ear, so that he could say, if any man thinks he's a proper spiritual, let him admit that what I say is the commandment of God. That's what we're talking about. Because Paul, as a man, was fallible. After writing the first Corinthians chapter 13 on love, he was so upset with that circumcising bunch of backsliders that he blew his lid. That's fine. Holy indignation's fine. I'm all for it. I can get married in a firecracker and prove I'm right, because God will make the wrath of man to praise him. I've been led by my own inner angers many times to do exactly the will of Almighty God, because God's bigger than I am, bigger than you. But I can't stand here and say, look, I've got the answers. This man could stand here and say, I have got the answers. And we had a man, William Branham, stand in the pulpit and said, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. And I saw the man that the bunch from Lima went down from, because I stood on division because of Joe Hankins, who stood in the pulpit, and he said, if I tell a lie, I'm a hypocrite. As though he were a prophet. Let me tell you, Fred, if I tell you a lie, I am honestly mistaken. But William Branham said, I can get to God, and I can get an answer. And if I come back and tell you different, I am a hypocrite, because he would be a hypocrite. I'm an angry preacher, you can tell. I'm fed up to hear with all the nonsense. Well, they got mad because I mentioned names. I don't care. Don't like names, get out now before we're finished. Let me tell you something flat. When God sent me to Covington, when which this work started, it was on one basis I found it. I don't take any leadership here because I am not pastor. Keep my hands off. I don't want one cent of your money. But let me tell you, I stood before the charismatics. I could have had the whole bunch in my hand. And I said, if God doesn't do something, nothing will be done. Amen. Not knowing I'd take two people down to Jeffersonville where Brother Branham was, introduce them to the prophet and the word of Almighty God, and that's where that word came from. Let me tell you flat, I don't care who you are this morning. I have no respect for you as an individual against this word of Almighty God. If you line with it, you are just as perfect as Almighty God. You are bride. And the day will come when you'll say, I'm one with the Father, and the shock will fall away. Because that's what the early church had. He said, be followers of me. In other words, there was one man that you could look to and get an answer. But he was fallible within himself. He had his passions. He had his tempers. Yeah. He even went so far as to tell men if they couldn't contain themselves, go and get married. My God, if that's all you got married for was sex, which is not bad in itself, you could have a pretty lousy marriage. But he himself said, I don't need women, I got my gift. He never stood there claiming anything to himself, but he stood there claiming something that no other man could claim. So he said, if any man think himself a pure spiritual prophet, let him admit what I say is the commandment of Almighty God. He meant what he said. Now let's go back to the book of Acts. Well, first of all, let me read verse 2. Now I praise your brethren that you remember me in all things and keep the commandments as I delivered them to you. That's now verse 2 explains what I said about verse 1. Be you followers of me as I give the commandments that God gave. That's exactly how the pastor rules in the church. He rules by the word of God. And then when he gives the word of God, some of you folk are dumb enough to think he might be Nicolaitan. I want to check it out this morning. I've heard little whispers that you think your pastor's Nicolaitan. To be Nicolaitan, you've got to have several men in a hierarchy. One man forms a dictatorship. You haven't got your language right. If I cut your heads off, I'm sorry for you, but listen, you better smarten up. It's getting late in the day. Ain't no man ever going to hit this pulpit this perfect. Don't ever think that for one minute. There's a judging word here. And I would hate to judge Paul. Just look at the man. He had no more authority than nothing. He had no more than nothing. He said, I come to you in weakness. I come to you in trembling. He said, I look like an ape and I walk like an ape. I don't have a thing in myself. And he didn't. He said, my speech is rotten. He said, I'm such a kind of a guy you wouldn't even listen to. But he said, I want you to know something. I met the pillar of fire face to face. And he said, I delivered those ordinances to you and you walk in those ordinances. Now the preacher is not above the ordinances, but he's fallible. And Paul was fallible. Paul made boo-boos. Don't worry, he sure did. He got in a fight with Peter. Brother Branham said you can disagree bitterly with anybody over doctrine, but you got to love them. Why'd they pull out of the church here over church over 45 minutes? And Brother Branham distinctly said, I broke my own law. Didn't say God's law. Huh? You see, boy, babe, you should have brought your notes. I should have. Just preaching off the cup, but just give me a chance to throw everything I want through in, either out the window or in the window. Acts, the third chapter. This is the Bible, not me. I got nothing to do with the Bible. I preach it. I even hate myself for preaching it. It says here at the end time in verse 21, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restoration of what? Restoration of what the prophet said. Some people got an idea God's going to restore every single thing that was ever said back through the ages. All right, then bring up Tyre and Sidon. Bring up Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the Word that gets restored. Ned Iverson was on an airplane with Billy Graham. He introduced himself because Billy knew his dad, Dr. Dan Iverson. The man that wrote that song about the Holy Spirit. As he talked to Billy, he said, Billy, there's just one thing, he said, that hasn't happened. The Word of God has not been restored. And Billy said, you're right. Well, Billy Graham's no authority as far as that's concerned. Where is his vindication? The prophet was correct when he said you could win a whole nation to Jesus Christ and win them all wrong. The Word of God distinctly says in Peter, you can be born of the wrong seed, being born of the incorruptible, not of the corruptible. Now, he said being born again. He wasn't talking about a man who was born in the flesh of corruptible seed, which all dies. He said, being born again. So Billy said, all right, I come to a city, 30,000 are saved. I come back in 2 years, ain't nobody there. They were born again, but wrong seed. How can a man leave Christ if you're born again? You're in the thought of joined to him. You have become amalgamated. You have become unionized. You've been poured into one vessel. He's been immersed in us and we immersed in him. Who's going to lose the other? That's just technical talk I'm giving, too. I'm not even spiritualized. That's just technical language. Absolutely technical and mechanical. That's what happened. You say, Brother Bell, I just don't feel he's poured into me, and I'm poured into him. Who cares about your feelings? What's your feelings got to do with God? What's my feelings got to do with God? Go by feelings, you'll go crazy. So I praise you, brethren. Now, he said these ordinances here, the end time, it says here, I read it to you, that by the just before Jesus Christ comes, it says here the heavens will retain him until there is a restoration. And that restoration started under Luther. Even the historians got that correct. But he said, at that age, you're living a name that's dead. And at the end time, he said, it's going to be so wrong of Christ to be knocking at the church to try to get back into it. But at the evening time, there shall be light. And there's only one light. And that's the light of Matthew 24. Don't ever forget this as long as you live. This is part of the parousia. For as lightning cometh, that word is a bright, not as lightning, zap, zap across the sky. It's as a bright and burning lamp, intensely burning, comes out of the east and shines even unto the west. So shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Christ once more will blaze forth at the end time as a light. Now, what's the light in the end? What's the light? It's the Word of Almighty God, always has been. Thy Word's a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
I'm the light of the world. He that believeth me shall not walk in darkness. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's Alpha. There's got to be an Omega. Now, listen. Let's watch. But I would have you know the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. He's setting the church in order, the bride relationship. The first thing here, if you're going to follow me according to ordinances, you've got to set the church in order. And church order came under the thunders. Brother Branham said so bleakly. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, the woman is under the man. Now, this morning, I want to know how many women are under the men this morning. Now, the next thing is, how much under the men? To the degree that the man is under Christ. Now, they tell me over there in the many, several years back now in the suburbs, when people moved out of the major portion of the city, they got nice homes outside. They couldn't make a living, couldn't keep the payments. So many women outside of Boston and various places in America literally became prostitutes or call girls to make money. And the husband sanctioned it. He is no head of nothing.
Amen. Amen.
And any man that will want his wife to do anything immoral or anything which was not pleasing to Jesus Christ, she could not listen to him for 5 seconds.
Amen.
And it's that same rotten thing that's got incest into the homes. Until the thing that's kept undercover most in America and is now putting its head out, and Gene mentioned that this morning, but I already read some articles on it, is incest. At one time it was a joke and said incest is all right as long as you keep it in the family. But it's not a joke anymore because it's right there. You say men are standing for it. Yes, men are standing for it. It shows how rotten they are. How could a woman follow a man like that? The same man that said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ, setting the ordinance in the church, would now ask some woman to follow a man that doesn't follow the ordinances. So I told my wife, after I went back preaching, disobeying God for many years, I still don't like preaching. The fact is just to preach. It's too tough a life. I like a nice, easy life. I said, if I ever get disobedient to God and want you to turn aside, you follow God, don't you dare follow me.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, any woman or any man who will deny his partner the right to pray, to read that Bible, to fellowship in a godly church, you got to split.
Yeah.
Now, when I hit women, I come to their defense at the same time. Because this is not a man's church and it's not a woman's church. It's Christ's church.
Amen.
Now, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. We speak in terms now of not just the Logos here. We speak in terms, because the Logos did come out of God, but we speak in terms of Christ the man. And we're speaking men and women. And Paul was speaking as a man here. There's only one way that he could literally follow Jesus, because he, later on we'll show you, I said, I saw him as one born out of due season. There's only one way he could have followed him, and that was through the pillar of fire. And he said, who are you? And that pillar of fire struck him down. He said, I'm Jesus. Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Now, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, you can say what you want about that. That has to do with hair, long hair, short hair. But it also has the connotation here that any man that doesn't come in subjection to the Word, he's got his head covered from it, doesn't want to come under it, he's disobedient and disobeys God, the same as a woman cutting her hair, doesn't want to come under the authority of the man. Now we're speaking in terms mostly here of the bride. See? Now he is placing the bride and the husband as the husband of the, which is the Word. In this particular portion here, see? Now, and he says in verse 16, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs. In other words, women cannot cut their hair, period. So the same thing holds here. There is no authority outside of the Word. Now, there are church meetings, men like to come together and superimpose what they think might be the right thing or a good thing. For heaven's sake, go to the Word and find out. And until you can find out, sit still. Hey? That's what's wrong. People jump here and people jump there. The thing to do is to sit still until we find out. A fellow went to Brother Branham one day. He said, Brother Branham, I feel I got a call to do so-and-so. Brother Branham said, God be with you. Go on your way. Yeah, but he said, I said, another little feeling down deeper inside, and it says, I ought to sit still and really wait, he said, because I'm just not 100% sure. He said, now you got it. Now you got it. How many of you folk are just nervous this morning, want to be on your way, and you can't sit still? Oh, it's tough, baby, it's tough. Amen. It's tough. There's nothing outside the Word. Because Paul said, look, he said, I've been anointed to it. So I've set an order. I'm not standing here, said Paul, as a paragon of virtues, though you couldn't put your finger on him. We got the same thing at the end time. Because Paul was born in sin, we had a prophet born in sin. Now you can take this message and pervert it all you want. Doesn't bug me any, because I know the truth of it. I know that William Branham was just an ordinary man. With an extraordinary gift. And a God that manifested himself in the pillar of fire at the end time and spoke to him the same as he spoke to Paul, so that he could say the same one in the pillar of fire that gave the book is here revealing the book. Amen. And he would have to be of Alpha Omega. There would have to be a time. I know people don't want to believe this because their minds are clouded by denomination, but Alpha is Omega. You tell me where the Omega is. Where is it? When's it going to come? I want to know. I'm talking about Baptist, Presbyterian, and Methodist, and Pentecost, Trinity, and this and that. Talk to me about the Bible. At the end time, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Go back and check the beginning. Is it here now? I brought up those verses in Scripture and showed you where it says was this thing was not done in the corner. That's what Paul said. And the Scripture distinctly says, I read over there in Luke, the words of the prophet mentioning how this was done before all men. In other words, there was nothing done that was not done openly and proven, and men went... And when Herod found out that the wise men came to worship him, he said, let's get him. When the whole city was stirred by angels, they forgot it. And 30 years down the road, when they said, this man has got to be a great man, a great prophet at least. They sneered and they said, well, show me where any prophet came out of Galilee. Why don't they trace his genealogy back? Remember the records of Herod when those wise men came? He's born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's not in Galilee, that's Judea.
Amen.
It was too convenient to throw away their records. It was too convenient to throw it out the window. I would to God someone like Jess Stern would write a book about Brother Branham, put it around the world, open people's eyes. Not eulogizing a man, but let's face it. If I talk about you as being born again a part of Jesus Christ, I'm eulogizing you.
Right.
I'm giving you an honor that you don't deserve.
Right.
And I'm giving you an honor you can't have unless God gave it you. Because there's nothing anybody can confer upon anybody is what God did. We're not born of the will of man or the will of the flesh. Or some will of something is born again by the will of God. See? Now, he says here, and this I declare, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. There are divisions among you. Divisions at the time of the revealed perfect word. Yes! He even tried to make Paul a god. Tried to was Barnabas, he tried to make him a god. And at the end time, John finds himself in the book of Revelation falling down to worship a prophet. And I hear in Jeffersonville a certain person bowed his knee to another certain person. Because he's a prophet. You say, Brother Bill, what kind of a mess is this message? It's perfect with God.
Amen.
We're at the end time. We are at the end where the fullness of sin and deceit comes to its absolute peak. Let him that is unrighteous be unrighteous still. It's gone. Let him that is wicked be wicked still. But let him that is holy be holy still. And he's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about a bride. I don't care, brother, sister, if you fall in a gutter. You must smell like a rose. If you're a Christian, won't hear to you. You need to tell me if you're in a gutter and come out of the stinking gutter of this world, you're going to smell like this stinking world. No, not when you've got the balm of Gilead on you and the garments of are filled with myrrh and the smell of the rose of Sharon. I don't care if this message becomes abomination around the world. I told you, I got a letter from Caracas, Venezuela. And they said, oh my God, is this place full of cults? And the worst of all is the Branham cult. And bugged me one little bit. I don't care if it gets 10 times worse. It says right here, at the time of apostolic authority, there were divisions. Alpha's Omega, you're going to have divisions. But in it, there's a pure word. The women got to rebelling first because they can't stand male authority. Equal rights amendments have come to the church. And some of you women still wear your skirts just to wear you shouldn't wear it. And you can't be told anything. You, the Bible calls you, find out for yourself. I'm not going to be too rude this morning. I want to be nice and sweet. Got folk in the old country. That can make me nice and sweet. The blood of Jesus veil, they tell you that. Now, ain't nothing going to make me nice and sweet. It's impossible. Look at the grace of Paul that partly believe it. What a sweet fellow there. Now he said here, it's manifest, though. When you come together, everyone taketh before his own supper. In the days of Paul, they hodgepodged the message. Some took this part, some took that part. In our day, Alpha's Omega, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the thing I've screamed about all my life and been called the filthiest names under high heaven by a man supposed to be my brother, wrote a letter about me. Because I dared to say, don't you take quote, and fight by quote. Know the doctrine. Well, the same guy had fire at his feet. If the pillar of fire stands in a man's feet, then he's bigger than God, so that shows where he is. His own picture he sent up showed what he was. Oh, come on, smart enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Divisions. People want a certain portion of the word. Brother Brand said that's where Eve failed. She didn't want one word. They added the word and that did the whole messed up thing. That's why you got a mess today. People don't want to believe the seven thunders. They don't want to believe the capstone is down. They want to believe the capstone is up. They still got the picture on the wall. The headstone way up here, and a space in between. How can you have a space in between if the capstone is down? You leave a space in there, anything can take place. That's why you're in such a mess with Junior Jackson running over there with his church order all out of order. Refuse to put the church order in.
Amen.
Okay. No, I said, what do you have? You not housed, eaten, drinking? And I said, for I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. Do you know that Paul didn't know one thing about the rites of the Lord's Supper, foot washing? You know he got a direct from God? Nobody came by and told him anything? Because the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. We didn't have a prophet who had to search through the Bible to find things out. We had a prophet the word of the Lord came to, then he went to the Bible.
Amen.
To make sure the spirit that was talking was exactly right. And it checked out. And then he goes on to say, there are many weak and sickly among you. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, how in the world are you going to judge yourself? There's only one anybody can judge himself, and that's by the word, because you and I cannot do otherwise. Let's go over here to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 4th chapter. I'm sorry. Am I preaching too mean? I don't mean to be. I'm just angry because of what goes on, and I just spew it out. I'm sorry. I just get so fed up with people not believing the true and living God and Him amongst us and trying to put honor on some man or some men or something. When look, brother, sister, if we it'll take billions of years to even begin to start to praise Him.
Amen.
And don't tell me we're going to start praising Him then if we're ignoring Him here. What kind of a marriage is it when the wife ignores the husband? I'll tell you what it ends in, divorce. I had a good friend up in Canada, Arnie Perry, sweet real boy, real fine boy. The mother-in-law came to live with him. She had a chance to marry a real nice rich man, a widower, like she was a widow. Oh, she wouldn't move out, and the daughter kept her there. And it's a small house that got to the place where wore on Arnie's nerves, wore on more and more, and he wasn't looking at other women. He didn't go with women. And one day he told her, he said, it's all over. Oh, I'll change. He said, look, he said, how can I fall back in love? I've fallen out. They had a divorce. 2 Thessalonians speaks of a divorce. Matthew 25 said, I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife any longer.
Amen. Right.
Okay. Now it says here, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner in thoughts and intents of the heart, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That's the judge. And that's Christ, the judging word. Notice the church, it goes from the word of God to the word his. Showing you that Brother Branham was correct. Christ, the word. And you know something? I've got the books. And I can show you that only in the first church age did they use the word logos continually. And the word logos never came back in fashion and isn't to this day, really, until Brother Branham preached it. Then pick up Christianity, Ray. After Brother Branham came on the scene, it was logos, logos, logos. But not before. I got the books. I'm not kidding. I've got the history books. I have got the textbooks. Wasn't there. You know why? Because at the end time, he's got to be Omega because his name is called the Word of God. See? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible gives you the clue as to the word as what the flesh of Jesus Christ at the last day is. It says, the only begotten the Father, who is in the bosom, hath exegeted, thoroughly brought him into view by words. The flesh of the Holy Ghost today is the Word.
Amen.
Then don't make it William Branham.
Amen. Yeah.
William Branham's a prophet, but he ain't God.
Amen.
Fine man, but he ain't a Savior. And he's dead.
Amen.
Couldn't say God. If God had to raise Jesus, my Christ, William Branham will stay there for eternity unless God raises him. Because only Jesus had the authority to lay down his life. But now, Brother Branham was taken from him.
Praise the Lord.
The judge. Paul says here, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened the Lord. And we should not be condemned. Now, doesn't that sound exactly as the third chapter of Revelation over here? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Why? Because they were judging wrong. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not, you're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. The fellow in Europe that got into adultery said the same thing to his girlfriend to get her messed up. Oh, well, he said, $250,000 a year is coming in, and we must be okay because we're being blessed to God. And he taught polygamy. Then why did he marry the girl and take her into his home? He had her at home without benefit of marriage. I know the girl. She was pretty smart and proud back in Canada. She talked about the sword in Germany and the pillar of fire and everything else and the gifts operating on the floor and how great God was living in adultery. Don't come to me that way! You can smell it a million miles off. Spiritual adultery goes into physical. There's got to be a manifestation. That's why there's incest today. Not so bad. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not against sex. I'm all for it. The bed's undefiled if you're married. I'll cut you right where it belongs. I'm not afraid to talk anything in the pulpit. I'd profit God a little bit misunderstanding me one day about it. And you know how my nature is. I can put on a sort of a... I don't know. Well, you know what I'm like. Prophet knew what I was like. And I was grumping. That's the word. I was grumping. And I was grumping about sex. Because it's, you know, it's on every billboard. It's everywhere. And he thought I was grumping about the fact that I was maybe enjoying it. And he said, oh, that's okay, Lee. You can do it as often as you want. He said, you're married. I said, Brother Branham, I wasn't talking about me and my sex life. I was talking about the fact that what's a refrigerator got to do with a naked woman?
Amen.
Amen. Or a car. Now, I'm not against nakedness in the home when you're married. I'm not against... Let's get that into your minds now. I am not puritanical. Neither am I satanical. What you do according to Scripture is legitimate. Let's get this straight. I'm going to go a million miles every which way, which I don't care two bits if I go up and down, inside out. Let me tell you this, that many a man may come home. A woman may plead a headache. Her husband's got a right to her. Headaches may be just a gag or something else. On the other hand, a woman may desire the man, and he can't walk out in there with the boys.
Amen.
Ha ha, how you like that one?
Amen.
Well, you say, well, it's up to the man. It ain't up to the man. The Scripture says so. You better learn to be compatible. And also, let's tell the women flat is very flattering to a man, the husband, that is, if he feels that she wants him. You say, Brother Bill, why are you talking this way? Because the church has a man called Jesus the husband, and he's been wanting spiritual intercourse to bring forth spiritual children. And he hasn't got it. That's why there's a stinking mess right here all over the world. It manifests in the flesh. It got to come forth. Well, so you folks sitting here know why I preach the way I preached back in Norway that time. That's why I don't go back to any more camp meetings. I'm tired of camp meetings and all those spirits. You can have them. Every preacher under high heaven living in sin and rottenness and preaching all kinds of corruption. Paul set the church in order and made Christ the head.
Amen.
And I preached to Prussia and showed you by the word of God, letter by letter, that he is here. He is here. The Holy Ghost is here. God himself is here.
Amen.
And people are not there either looking back or looking down the road. They're looking at William Branham or some prophet or some preacher. They don't know the capstone's down. They don't know the headship is here. They don't know he's here to put himself at the head of the church and to raise the dead. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you by scripture chronology. That's what the message is all about this morning. The judging word. Now he said, you better judge yourself. He said, because a lot of sickness. Brother Van said, one person can keep that whole church from being healed. You know what, brother? We're selfish. That's our whole trouble. We're all selfish. All we think of is the relationship to Almighty God. I preached and showed you last summer and showed you this church would go ahead or go back according to how we took the vertical through the horizontal. That same Holy Spirit, my brother, that you and I want to contact, and we want to be so this about and so that about, we forget it's the same Holy Spirit that goes back and forth in each member and makes us all one. And the Scripture says when they have become one with Him, and they know it, the world will know that Jesus Christ has been sent. I believe there's coming a time upon this earth when the people will know too late that He's here. They're going to see it in the bride. Because He not only knows He's with us, and there's a definitive headship, my brother, my sister. I can't explain it, but there's a mystical union going on, the prophet said. I'm talking about it. See? Now, He said we wouldn't be judged. We'd be chastened. And when you come to come, carry one for another. Now, I'm spiritualizing some of this, but I'm showing you the chronology. And He said, the rest I'll set in order when I come. I will set in order when I come. Paul, how are you going to do it? Are you some big mouth fat head that's going to sell us a bill of goods? No! I'm going to get commandments from God. When I get there, he said, you watch. Who do you think brought the thunder down to earth? Revelation 10 and 1 said it was the Lord God. The same one sitting on the throne that John saw. The emerald, the ambers, the rainbow was nothing but the fire of God burning and going over that throne, and the Logos was in it. And that mighty messenger came down, the Logos came down. There's a pillar of fire. We've got to have a prophet. No other way. You and I can't see it. I'm going to set them in order. Now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And it's at this point that he set the church in order. Because it's in the book of Corinthians, and only in Corinthians does he speak of devils. And he speaks of spirit-filled people having communion with devils. I preached that last summer and showed you, Brother Branham. I was asked the question, Brother Branham, can a man full of the Holy Ghost with a genuine gift be used of the devil? And he said, now that's a good question. The answer was yes. Yeah. This is the age of deceit. I want scary, but that's just faith. It's the age of deceit. The age of the mind. Get it under control. Let those eyes blaze if something comes against the word, not against the person. I've dropped one word before, Brother Van Steen, go back like this and look a hole right through me. When he found out what I was thinking, he relaxed. I learned never to pull that one again. Because I was just kidding him. Certainly. You know you were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. You were hurried away blindly. Wherefore, give you to understand, watch it. Now, he mentions the one spirit being there. And he warns them of the danger of spiritism creeping in the church. Years ago, I said, but after this message, there's only one place to go. That's spiritism. I didn't know Brother Branham bring up the fact that the high spiritual spiritism order of the world is the Roman Catholic Church that created the dead. Amen. I didn't know amongst us there'd be people praying to William Branham in his name either. They're doing it. I'm not discouraged. Everybody can pray William Branham's name. I'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, but Brother Bill, what if they get results and you don't? Well, I'll go to hell that way. Fine.
Amen.
I'm sorry about that, but I'm committed. There comes a day when you got to get committed, brother, sister. I want to ask you, look, why did you think I came out? And boy, there have I come out. I come out of a dozen things. Now I want to ask you, if I was so dumb I had to keep coming out, am I smart enough to find my way into the future? No. I got no hope except this message.
Amen.
To cling to it. Now he says here, he talks about gifts. He said they're of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't say they're of the devil, even though the devil can creep in. And unless you put them in that room and under surveillance, he will creep in. I think adultery got in the church over there. They boasted about all the gifts they had. The woman that prophesied so accurately about the man who had a baby by a woman, and then they carved the baby up and shoved it down the toilet. She went to the man. The prophecy was right. That's what he did. But then she saw the husband with a sword in his hand. Living in adultery? Come on. I'm not preaching this for the benefit of my Norwegian brethren, but it'll do them good to understand. You see why I take a stand? The way I had to take a stand, I've got to take a stand. I don't want to be controlled by the devil. I'm no prophet. I'm no super person. If I've got something, put it where the prophet said to put it. That's where Paul said, when you come together for this specific purpose. He didn't say you couldn't do it. He said, here's how you do it. The prophet of God said, I'd sooner. He said, why settle for the unreal when the heavens are full of the real? And he said, I'd sooner have nothing if they have that which is false. Believe me, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever went insane, you would be glad not to have a devil. So therefore, why would anyone want anything that is not genuine from God? He set the church in order. And if Paul sets the church in order, he enumerates and shows what is in the top of the list. And that is the gifts that God has set in the church are, first of all, the fivefold ministry. There's where the true Holy Ghost is. Why? Because it's the Word. And it's not the Word of the preacher. It's the Word that was delivered to the preacher. That's why there's a mess. They couldn't even wait for Brother Branham to die before they hot-footed clean around the world to preach their own stuff. You wonder why I'm not hot-footing around the world. Tickets sitting there waiting for me to go around the world. I'm not interested. God says, go, I'm going to go. I hope. Maybe I missed it. I missed out in Tucson. I waited 1 week too long and I told her. I said, Allison, I missed her. I'm going 1 week too late. I didn't know why till I got home. Then I realized what it was all about. Perry had to go to Rome. I should have preached six more sermons up there. This is the first time in all those years in Tucson that people stood their mouths open waiting for the Word of God, hungering and loving it. Not because Lee Bale was preaching. No, don't ever get that idea. They're starting with the truth, so the mind began to open to see what it was all about. The brother man was teaching how that great one was amongst us. They hadn't caught it. See? Preaching mechanics. You can get out of the will of Almighty God. People ran in Paul's day with what wasn't the truth. See? Now, in the 13th chapter, he lets them know, gifts are fine. They're good, but there's something else. Right after the gifts. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 9, we know in part and prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in the part should be done away. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the very thing setting the church in order by the Word. And he said there's something more to come. Something that Paul could not deliver in that hour. He had the revelation for his hour, but he couldn't deliver in the hour beyond it. I'll prove it to you. Over here in the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews. It distinctly says, leaving the principles and the doctrine and so on. And in verse, and the doctrines of baptism, resurrection eternally, he said, and this we will do, we'll go on to perfection, and this we'll do if God permit. They hadn't come to perfection. The word perfection means conclusion, polishing, finishing off. They couldn't do it. And then it says here, at that time it is impossible, those once enlightened, once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the word to come. That's exactly Matthew 24. And not saying it shall fall away, it says having fallen away, they can never get back. They can never change their minds. Impossible. They'll go right the way they're going when they run flat against the end time. And they did. They run flat against the end time. The people say, well, who ever heard of Brother Branham? Well, I ask you who did. You know why they didn't hear about him? Because they killed him before he even died. Who killed him? The churches. You think they didn't come to see him and hear him? Come on, don't be a bunch of nuts. I know what happened. As soon as he said there was one God, he killed it. Because there's got to be three of them. I can take Scripture and kill one God right now. There is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And man is not God and God is not man. I kill one of them right there. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the same one that went up came back as the Holy Spirit that killed another one. One God left. Amen. Praise God. Eliminated the two of them. I'm not being foolish, facetious. Don't talk to me about your stupid Trinity. You're an idolater. Amen. Calvin had served as killed at the stake for that. We're a little too numerous, I think, then to pull a deal like that, but they could shut us out and starve us. There'll be a squeeze, come on down. Don't think you won't suffer for this end time. They suffered the first, they're going to suffer at the end. This is the age of all diabolical cunning. This is the age of the craftiness. Thou shalt not surely die. Millions now living will not die. That's a lot of lies in the pit of hell. Billions will die. Only the bride's going to get away. I was in the days of Noah. How many? Eight. And don't tell me it's going to be different. As the days of Sodom, how many? Two, three. Fourth and blanked out. Don't talk different. You're not going to get me to believe anything's not Bible. I don't care what a man says. You can, encourage yourself. Go ahead and encourage yourself in the lies. The prophets of Baal did too. Well, they have 400 prophets. They said, like Brother Brown, how he hit that so perfect. Doesn't the Bible say it's ours? Didn't God give it to us? Come on, let's take it. Well, they say, hallelujah, that's wonderful, that's logical, that's great. 400 says, so let's go. And the old boy, I'm not forgetting, it doesn't matter anyway. He stood back and he said, go ahead. Fine. Have a party. Have a ball. God's with you. They could, and they caught his sarcasm. He's another sarcastic boy. I like him. Sarcasm right place ain't going to hurt nobody. Isn't going to hurt anybody. Go ahead. But he said, what I saw was Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. He said, throw him in prison when I get back. He said, if you ever get back. God never spoke. So they thought they'd trick God. You know what God said about a guy that tried to trick him? He said, the man that tried to escape the lion, the bear got him. Don't fool with God. If any man think himself spiritual, probably let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God. Not Paul supreme in office, but the Word of God supreme in office. Not William Branham supreme. No, but the Word of God supreme. And if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You talk about sarcasm. My sarcasm, 20th century, Paul, is this. If you want to stick your hand in the meat grinder, go ahead. Just don't come squalling to me. That's what Paul said right here. If any man is ignorant, go ahead. But I want to tell you something, he said. You better get things in order and decent. Now listen, after 13 here where Paul said that which is perfect is to come, and that which is in part to vanish away, as Brother Branham said, what is perfect but God, and what is God but the Word, and that's true because look at you and I cannot deal with God personally. You cannot approach unto Him. And if you can't approach, how are you going to talk to Him? And if you can't see Him, how do you know where to go to talk to Him? You're stuck. So God had prophets. 12th chapter of Hebrew, first chapter of Hebrews, and I know people don't want to believe this. God in the divers manner spoke to us unto the fathers in the prophet, unto the fathers in the prophets, not by but in. And the last day spoken unto us in His Son. And they say, see, He spoke in the last days. He's not speaking again. But over in Hebrews 12, it says He speaks one more time from heaven. So shut up your nonsense and read the whole Bible. Big mouth women preachers, especially on this one. Because it's a shake a little bit in that God. I got one special person in mind. But burns me up, she had $1,500 of my money to go down to the islands to blaspheme God. You say, Brother Bill, did you give it? No, I didn't give it. It was my wages. Listen to my wife. Don't ever listen to your wife, man. You're going to get your neck cut. $1,500. You owe me. Well, she more than earned it. She more than earned it. She can have it all, as far as that goes. But she was wrong. I should have got my $1,500. Because she went down to the islands as a woman missionary. Women, stay home and take care of your kids. See? You should have them. It's your heritage. Brother Brand said a sacred vessel for childbearing. That's a peculiar thought, isn't it? A hoopy vessel for fun, that's what men think. Something wrong somewhere.
Praise the Lord.
He said here, that which is in part is going to be done away. And he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, did childish things, but he said, became a man and put away childish things, and this is talking about gifts. This is even talking about the finer qualities of fruit. Spoke as a child, understood. I command. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Paul said there's a time coming when once more it'd be face to face, because Paul had already spoken face to face and that time was over. It was gone. It was finished. This is 59 A.D. And he said, 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem, the book of Galatians, to find out whether I had spoken the truth or not. The pillar of fire had gone. The message was over. But he said, there's coming a day when it's face to face again. There's coming a day when it's no longer darkness. In other words, the church will get put into an order it never was in an order before. Because listen, at that time it was not he that is holy still, and he that is righteous, and he that is unholy still, and so on. There is a day coming of separation where there is a bride, and all of that of God is centered in her, where she becomes all things and he becomes all things to her, and everything else is outside the gates, and there's whoremongers and liars and adulterers and fornicators, the whole thing's out there. But the bride's a little sacred body unto Jesus Christ. To bring forth the man. You'll never get him to leave until that bride's ready. Now, I'm going to tell you flat, it's not going to be ready till into the resurrection. You might as well get used to it. It'll go into the resurrection. We're literally into it right now, don't worry. Now, we know in part. And he said, then shall I know even as I am also known. In other words, I'm going to know him, and he is going to know me, and that has nothing to do with meeting him face to face up there. That has everything to do, as I've showed you time after time in Ephesians, the first chapter, when the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him comes into the church, the eyes of understanding being light, you may know what the hope of his calling, not yours, but his. You're going to learn all about him as Redeemer. What did Brother Brown do when he opened the seals? The Redeemer stepped forth with the book of redemption to claim his own. He showed who it was. Here's Melchizedek. This, I'm going to quit pretty quick as I can, because this sermon will go into hours. There's too many. There's just 101 thoughts that just keep coming and coming, because it's all interrelated. Because see, the whole Bible is one book. You can't touch one subject, but you touch it all. There's not one theme, but what you touch it all. That's what Brother Branham said. If you see one word that doesn't bring forth Jesus Christ, one scripture, go over it again. You missed it. You say, well, how is that? Because either is what he directly said, or what he directly did, or what he said and they wouldn't do, or what he said and what they did do. It's all related. And it's all related to man. The Bible is all what God said and what man would do about it, or what wouldn't do about it, and then what God did. But it always came back to grace. Oh, grace, amazing grace. If it weren't for grace, brother, sister, I don't care how tremendous you and I would be. But listen, it says right here, that we are going to know. We're going to know the plan. We're going to know the calling. We're going to know about the inheritance. Not ours, but his now. And we're going to know the exceeding greatness of his power that raised him. It's going to raise us. It's going to raise the dead. It's going to put us in a rapture. It's going to put everything under us. With him. See? We're going to know. Now, in the 14th chapter, he goes on. And he's speaking more concerning gifts, because he's putting the church more and more in order, and he is explaining why he had to put the church in order. See? Now, watch. And this is what I'm getting to. In chapter 15, after, he says, follow me. As I follow Christ, it's in the Word. See? Now, what kind of a man would William Branham have been to say, every preacher preaches 45 minutes, but I can't do it? That's like Jesus saying, everybody quit chewing tobacco, but I'm struck. Let me tell you what I believe behind all this stuff. William Branham distinctly said when they came out of Egypt, they had the pillar of fire and a prophet, but they wanted a law. That's true. I showed you in Scripture where that is. And people kept coming. They couldn't sit and listen. It was yak, 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 yak. Ask, 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 ask. Question, 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 question. How many songs? How many? Why don't you shut up and sit still? Don't you think God would have given exactly what they needed? But no. They had to mess around. As they did in Moses' day, as they did in Paul's day, William Branham's day, but there's a bride that lets just stay with the Word. Hallelujah. And if you fill up easy, you've been here for 1 hour and 5 minutes, go on home, get out. You've had your 45 minutes. I'm not kidding. If you don't feel like staying, go on. Your brother there, you're hanging tough. I'm hanging tough for one reason. This is a democracy. You can do what you want about this message. Just the same as I'm doing. I'm not through preaching. If you're through listening, good. You may go home. If you're hungry, I'll pay for your dinner. Now look. He never threw gifts out. He said, don't forbid to prophesy. Put it under order. Don't knock out tongues. Put it under order. The Baptist and everybody else knocked out tongues and the Christian missionary lines blasphemed God. Because when the fire fell in Nyack, where the headquarters was, they said it's all of the devil. They lost right there. They died. They died. And the stench has gone through the world. Nazarene's the same thing. Brother Branham saw the man make the preacher making love to a corpse. How you like that one? Baptists did the same thing. They died. He warned you and me never, never, never call that of the devil, because it's not of the devil. It's God. Because it's a gift of God, but not God per se. He said, if I give you my pen, I don't give you myself, I give you a gift. So therefore, you can have a gift without being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Anybody can get gifts. The Bible speaks of an anointing at the end time. Upon all flesh, your sons and my sons, your daughters, my daughters. That's Acts, the second chapter. And he said, right afterward comes a great tribulation. So therefore, if you want tongues and things all over the floor in Europe, be my guest. You cut your throat, I didn't. Now, Lee Bale ain't sweet, sweet, sweet. But he's right, right, right.
Amen. Amen.
And I'd sooner be right, right, right. And by the right, right, right stock, then the sweet, sweet, sweet stock, there goes it. I am right. There's a tape was played right in the church from 1958. Brother Branham sat at his own desk and dictated that tape. And right in his own handwriting, you still got it? Put it on the bulletin board so you can see it out there. In Brother Branham's own handwriting, he said, this goes with the minutes and the orders of the church. And he put it all in the little room. No, I don't care how often Brother Jackson runs to Europe and tells you people in Europe, that ain't so. I got news to you. It is so.
Amen.
Do what you want.
Praise the Lord.
Nobody's going to say it's the devil. I can tell you, the devil will get in, though. He'll get in. It's already in. When he gets the word, that's how he got in. He didn't say to Eve, there's no God. And he didn't say she wasn't fruitful. Oh, no. He just said, you won't die. Now, he was right. She couldn't die eternally. Because he knew the life of Adam, which came from God, was in her.
Amen.
But she died physically.
That's right.
There's a bride, my brother and sister, is not going to die physically. Something's got to happen to her. She's got to get back where Eve was. Not one word added, not one word taken. Now, listen. After the church is set in order, and Christ is made the head by the word, he now speaks of the resurrection. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now notice what he said about his preaching. Oh, you say this fellow really is something. You bet he really was something. You gotta know God to talk like this fellow. You gotta have more than just yakety yak. Would to God you'd bear a little in my folly and indeed bear with me. Oh, he said, I know when I talk about the pillar of fire, meaning God face to face, he said in that same way. He said, you just sit back. You know a fellow down in Beaumont was Pentecostal, one his preacher said? He's dead now. He said, Brother Branham's visions were no different from Swedenborg's. You ever read Swedenborg? Haven't you, anybody? Oh, pick up a book sometime. Jolly, jolly. And I thought, great, merciful God, if that man, supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost, and makes Brother Branham's visions like Swedenborg's. You know the Christ of Philadelphia Church. What a mess. I'm jealous over God, the godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband. I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that if any means this, the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, smartness. So your minds, M-I-N-D-S, mind. You got a better way than the Word. Oh, nobody's got a better way in the Word, because the Word made all these things by the laws of God. All things are maintained. Why does not this building fall down? Because man's smart? No, because of certain laws. But I fear, he said, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and they did. A third person, the Trinity. For a second, I don't know where they put it. It doesn't matter to me. I think they relegated the Holy Ghost to sort of a nasty place. They put him to one side. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, great, thank you, Lord God. And very nice little one. And, you know, not so much third one. How could anybody be that way? Or receive another spirit? Yeah, he said you could. A spirit can be in the church opposite to what Paul had in his church. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the life of the Word. How could you have the life of God and not have the Word of God? Or how could you have the Word of God and not have the life of God? That's why it's the mind. Not some sensation. I'm not against sensations. They're great, but put them where they belong. Sensations are fine, and a good happy feeling about Jesus, about your brothers and sisters, and good attitudes, that's great. See? But haven't you had a good feeling about even going out the wrong door? I get mixed up horrible direction. If I go in a revolving door, I'm revolved. Right there, I tell you flat. I've been going down the road very happy, find out, hey, I better look at the sun. Hey, man, look at the map again. Wow, you missed. Good thing you had a route ticket that time, but turn around and go back. Can't go by feelings. Another gospel. Okay? Now, back again to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. And he said here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also receive, wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory. He said, that doesn't sound good. A sower went forth to sow, and the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate it. The thorn, the rocks that crushed it out, the thorns, you know, choked it out. So is the Word. They wouldn't keep it there long enough to get someplace. How do you think some folk became deed in this message? Because they looked at certain things and the woman said, well, he's got to be Jesus. If he was Jesus, then Moses was Jesus, and Jesus was Jesus, and all Hagafian was right. He had a vision, he said, and he saw Miriam, or whatever her name was, sister, but the mother, whoever it was, of Moses, and great with child, and lo, Moses came forth. And then he saw Mary, she was great with child, and Jesus came forth. And then he saw his own mother, and he came forth, and said, phew. Remember, we were there. He came fifth, really. He lost the race. He didn't come forth. Yeah, what a mess. Ascended masters. Let me tell you flat, if William Branham is Jesus, then Jesus is Jesus, and Moses is Jesus, and so is any great man Jesus. Ascended masters, that's what it is. Spiritism. I told you this. I told years ago we'd go to it. Spiritism, my brother, sister, is so subtle it gets you a thousand ways. And it'll look just like God. Because at the end, the two spirits are so close. I'm not, this is Lee Dale talking, but I believe. And I'm not saying I believe this strong as I'm banking on it. But I have my thoughts on the Antichrist that comes out of America. That he will be so identified with Jesus in every single thing, they will be completely fooled that he is. and said, well, didn't he promise to come back in the body?
Well, here he is.
Hasn't the church always said we'll bring him back?
Here he is.
Now, come on, the Catholic Church depends on that. They're going to bring the millennium on earth where they bring him back. Oh, boy, if this is the millennium, please don't give me any more. If this is a squeeze 2,000 years in good health, I can take it. But the millennium, I want something better. I'm ready for heaven. Heaven is not ready for me that much, I guess. Now, Paul says here, wherein you stand if you keep in memory, unless you believed in vain. People are going to turn from this message like flies before it's over and get all messed up. Believing in vain. Middle of the road's not good enough. It's too tame. I'm not going to break down. I've got a sermon I'm going to preach sometime. It'll go around the world. When it does, I'm gone. Either I'll blow my brains out of the dude for me, because I'm going to preach on Jesus the man. That's going to blow everything higher than a kite. All this nonsense. Not because I'm going to preach it, but I mean it before God. Far as I'm concerned, it'll turn. It could turn about everybody against me, because I am not an idolater. I worship God who is spirit through a man who is Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, seated on the mercy seat behind the throne. And he was a man. And he is a man. He's a man right now. And he will not be God incarnate until the wedding supper. And after the wedding supper and the white throne judgment, he will become a man again with a pillar of fire over him. He's a man. And there's only one man like him. Well, put it this way, there is only one man, period, who is he? I can't even say one man like him, because that's ridiculous. That's like two men. There is only one man. Who is like unto him? Now listen. Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what the Bible actually says about the sins that he died for? Now look, in one place he lives to make intercession for the sins you're doing now, so he didn't die for them. Except in a specific way the blood stands there to scatter. He died for every sin that every man committed before he was born again, and for every sin he would commit that was down the road in the sense before that person was born again. He died for every sin, that blood standing there waiting for the hour to purge everyone so they could come out of the grave and get those resurrection bodies. But I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, when you talk about the living hour now, it's because Jesus is making intercession. We've got somebody on our side that says, Father, no way, no way can you let him go. Lose none. According to Scripture, he died for your sin. I'm not going to go in this morning. Just suggest we read Isaiah 53. He rose the third day according to Scripture. That's Psalm 16. He was seen as Cephas. You say, just a minute. He was seen as Mary. He was, but she's not mentioned. He was seen to 500 about one time. I didn't know that. Paul said so. I didn't know that. Paul knew by revelation. When did he appear to 500? How many is he appearing to today?
Praise the Lord.
But he's appeared. He has appeared. I'm sorry. I don't care what the theologians say, brother. I've got just as much as it right as the theologians they have. Because I don't have to know all the Greek. I just have to go look to a few words. And I say, then tell me, what about it? When it says the presence, and that is anything visible to the eye, you show me what's visible to the eye of God, and I'll take you to John 15 and 24 and prove it to you. If I had not done the works nor the man did, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now go to the Church of Christ and say, what about divine healing? Devil! They hate God. Oh, we love God! Then the Bible's a lie. Spit on, throw in the garbage. That much for the Church of Christ. Sorry about that. Come on, are you with me? Aren't you with me? I don't need your amens. I mean down. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Look, you draw your line in this word. I don't care about your rotten, stinking churches, but you came out of anything else. Any more than I came about Pentecost, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Baptist, what I came out of. I came out of all that stuff. There was a Presbyterian kid. It's too bad that I couldn't get saved. My God, the old boy was saved, but I wasn't. He couldn't get to me. He was too young, I guess.
And it says some of those are dead, but most of them are still alive. Do you realize, brother and sister, that the true bride, the real true bride, I used to think that most of them would die, but according to Scripture, it looks low. Looks as though maybe not too many are going to die after all. Those who stood to this word will be standing here. Then he's seen of James, then of all the apostles. I didn't know that. I didn't know the chronology there. I wonder if Paul's chronology was right, or was he worried about chronology? But he says after that. Maybe we'll see the dead come back little at a time, eh? That is, I don't mean they'd come back little at a time, but I mean we'll see them a little at a time. I don't know. Then he said, it seemed to me the least of the whole bunch, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now listen, we're going to go on. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now listen, I want you to notice something here. This followed the gifts. You hear what I'm saying? This followed the gifts. They, when they had the church in order, as Brother Branham said in Ephesians, there was no correction but revelation and grace. But under here they took the gifts out of order. And you know what happened? They got united against the Word of God. And the Word of God lost out. Because now they're preaching a false doctrine. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. It came right out of Canada and United States both in latter rain that there isn't any resurrection. But there is. There is. Now listen. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now watch what he's saying here. See? They left the headship of the church. They went straight to gifts. I can bring a man right in here this morning if I could get him in here. He's over in Seattle now. And he preaches from a tape. Brother Branham said the gift of the word of wisdom in the church is where a man has a gift by the Holy Ghost whereby he can go to Scripture and answer any Scripture question. And who needs Brother Branham? You better be careful what Brother Branham says and where he says and how he says and why he says it. Just like right here. The church was messed up under gifts. They left the Word under gifts. Therefore, the Word must become preeminent before any gift will truly operate. Then the spirit of the people must be truly right before you can even want to go in there and do something. Because when you do, it's for the people in the church because there's a need. It's not because I'm going to prophesy, hallelujah. It's like that woman. She kept prophesying every night. And finally she said to Billy Paul, I'm the one that prophesied last night and I got another message tonight. So Brother Branham watched her. She, you know, fidgeting her skirt and fidgeting. She should have pulled him down maybe. I know what she's doing. She's already under condemnation. As soon as she jumped up, he said, woman, sit down. I think he told her to be quiet or shut up or something, which was all right too. I had to tell a man one time in my meeting I was preaching, he'd make noise. I said, brother, I said, cut it out. They can't hear what I'm saying. And what I'm saying they need.
Amen. Yeah.
I guess they didn't like it. I didn't like it myself because they had to say it, but gifts out of order. The word always goes out the door when gifts are out of order. That's what happened to Eve. She got babies all right, but look where she put us. Corruptible seed. Now if there's no resurrection, Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Now notice what it says right here. That if there's no resurrection of the human body, to come back here is natural men and women. Now they're sexless in the terms of there can be, on my understanding, no children born. Because in the resurrection there is no such thing as male and female reproducing. There's not marriage. There's compatibility of companionship and love and beauty. And we're all one wife, as it were, to Christ. and all one body and member to each other. See, that's exactly what it is. But it says right here, if that does not take place, Paul says, then our faith is vain. Do you realize what I'm trying to say this morning? I've been saying it all along in different sermons here. You cannot bypass the physical mortality of man that comes into immortality. Immortality and eternality are bound hand in hand. Don't ever think of being an angel or some spirit or spook or something. Because it says right here, if there is no resurrection, Christ died in vain. That's true. Because if there's no resurrection, how do we get restored and put back in Eden? How do we get the command of God fulfilled, the word of God fulfilled? There's got to be a resurrection. There has got to be a resurrection. Now, God's got to bring about the resurrection if nobody else can. He put a flaming sword there and said, you'll not get immortality until the hour it comes. Now, it says here, and it said, yea, and we're found fault witness of God because we testified he raised up Christ, whom he raised up if the dead be not raised. For if Christ rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. I know, hold it. If Christ be not raised and you are not believing this moment in the physical resurrection, there's something wrong. You're still in your sins. See, Brother Bill, that's way, way down the road somewhere. It could be this, it could be that. It could not be. It is now. We're not waiting years and years, brother, sister. We are not waiting that long. The dead can appear at any time. The whole plan of God hinges on this moment, waiting breathlessly. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God this last hour when God dynamizes His Word in human bodies. And Word becomes flesh, and flesh becomes Word, and Word becomes the Word. And the bride becomes that all in all, which means all the Word of God. Toward her is fulfilled, and she stands there, living Word. I'm not preaching manifest the sons of God here somewhere. Everybody got a great ministry. Hallelujah. Everybody may have a super duper greater ministry because it's a super super church approaching the headstone. I don't know. I'm only going to preach the word as I understand it. And I'm preaching it to the glory of God that this is in order. What lies in there, I don't know. But it's coming. Because it said, if Christ be not risen, you got a vain faith. If there's no resurrection, you got a vain faith. In other words, the whole thing is all messed up. And they which fell asleep in Christ are perished. Look at he ends it. Then how tremendous the resurrection must be. And the millennium that lies ahead of us. Now who understands that? When does God dynamize that to us? He'll do it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, there is no life outside the body. I've been preaching that. And every time I go to Scripture, I find myself 100% right. That's why Brother Branham said, he was so happy to know. Listen, before God, I don't know how he ever got his thinking. But he said he thought when he died, he'd be like a little cloud floating along. And here's Brother Neville, a little cloud floating along. And he was so happy to know there were people he could hug and to kiss. Hey, he didn't get affectionate or effeminate and all that kind of junk. But he could hug them and love them. And such a purity. And he said, I'll never be the same again. He got a glimpse by vision. By actual going there for all I know. I don't know and I care less. But he came back and he said, oh, I'll never be the same again. He saw what Paul saw. There's a reality. I shall not die but live. Hallelujah. You don't need to worry about being all crudded up. Trusted a barnacle up individual you are. That's all going to be gone. Look, what would you be like this morning without sin? Never mind your features. On features. I'm talking about something way deeper in features. I'm talking about a reality. What would you be like without sin? You're sitting here this morning like I'm standing here and you literally hate yourself. And you, remember when you were a kid, I wish I'd have been born in that family because it's so much nicer. Family of God. Sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, but a reality is missing because people are not listening concerning what Brother Branham taught in the resurrection. Came right back from. But a reality, what would you be like without sin?
You're sitting here this morning like I'm standing here, and you literally hate yourself. See? And you, like, remember when you were a kid, I wish I'd have been born in that family because it's so much nicer. Family of God. Sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, but a reality is missing because people are not listening concerning what Brother Branham taught in the resurrection. Came right back from a visitation beyond the curtain of time and said, I saw them, and they were beautiful.
Amen.
Women with their hair hanging down their waist. Men with hair a little longer, I guess, than we've got ours, but short hair, not long like women. In the youth, the dew of youth and the beauty of holiness. 18, 19 years of age. I'll ask this morning, do you want to die or do you just want to get changed? Do you really want to blow your brains out because you get so far down, so disgusted? Or is it, oh God, isn't there something different, something better? And Paul says there is to the individual. You're not going to be your mother, your father, sister, brother, or somebody else. You're going to be you. But you'll be the you you always wanted to be. God intended. But it's on the other side of the curtain, my brother, my sister. But before there's even one person living that's in a bride of this hour, maybe left on earth, maybe they'll all be waiting to be taken. They'll all be taken. I'm going to tell you, that sweep is going to go over the people. They're coming to a place of maturity where they'll walk to that tree of life. That's what it says right here. That's what Easter is all about. Resurrection's all about. There's no life outside of the body. This body shall rise again. Brother Brand said, if I drop this handkerchief and it comes up a book, he said, that's replacement. He said, I dropped the handkerchief, got to come up a handkerchief. See? Now he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Christ is risen amongst us. Risen amongst the creeds and dogmas that chained and bound him for 2,000 years. Took a bride out of her creeds and dogmas into spiritual resurrection. Now is Christ risen. Proven he's risen amongst us. Showed that he was. There is a resurrection. It's right around the corner this morning. I'm so bold to say what I saw in Canada is over this morning. I believe it's over. I believe the show has gone by. I believe we're to a place where the last one is called in. I don't know. If you haven't got along, don't worry. I don't say this because I'm 65. Don't have too much time. Maybe according to the grace of God, it would be 5 years, which I care less. Brother Shippey's, what, 78? Say 8 years past. But feeling pretty good, thank God. He's got the good as health as he got. I want to tell you, brother, sister. Let's get this straight. You and I can fool around. And we can disbelieve. But like the prophet said, I'm looking for a bride of such character. Not the kind of character people talk about, but a character. Listen to that message. Stand still in the waters of separation until she's dressed in that virgin bridal investiture that makes her different. Some of you women can't stand still. Some of you men can't stand still. You'll miss it if you don't stand still. You must keep in mind. Don't get your own screwed up ideas of what's moral and what's holy, this and that. Some of you are drifting that way already. You got a self-righteousness that sticks up 4 feet on each side of you. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm crude and my sermons are X-rated. I couldn't. No. Yeah. I'm not trying to defend myself like Paul Jones said it was because I'm hard. At least I don't believe in polygamy and other men's wives and everything else.
Amen.
Let's get that flat. I may be crass and crude, but I preached you the Word of God the best I possibly can, brother, sister. And we are right nearing the resurrection. The door is opening, brother, sister. The spin is pulling away. That star won't stand there, Gene, too long. It'll break and go one way here into the resurrection. It's going to be wonderful for those that make it. If I don't, I want to stand by with enough grace and say, praise God. God's truth. He did what he said he did. I can see William Branham in that resurrection like John the Baptist said, the friend of the bridegroom standing by and rejoices. And if I never got any higher than that, just to stand by and rejoice, I'd count myself lucky. Because it happened in our day, brother, sister. Alpha's Omega. Turn right around to the end. I believe it was just about there. I'm not nervous. I know in Florida, They say, Brother Bill's getting awful nervous. He needs a vacation. I need the vacation, but I ain't nervous.
Praise God.
Because I'm crying. The fountains of deep don't get broken up too often in me. But I'll tell you, there is a God. I stand with that God in the Apostle Paul, who said, if Christ be not risen, it's vain. And if all we got in this life is just Christ, we don't have that resurrection, what is the use? Oh, it must be wonderful, brother, sister. It must be marvelous. It must be tremendous. I told you to talk to Brother Branham one time. I said, Brother Branham, I said, man, I said, I look at people. I look at myself. I look at life. And I say, God couldn't have figured a better plan in all this world than have people. But what would it be like without sin? To have your own life, your own family, raise your children. It had to be that way, though. He said, Lee, if you're talking about the millennium, let me tell you something. God's children came down through a mixed multitude of the flesh. Noah was the last perfect human being. From that time on, it was election, God bringing his seed down, down, down. And I want to tell you something, brother, sister. There's some of you sitting here this morning, you're not the son of your father. You thought that man that carried those genes was your father. In the millennium, you may find somebody else that was your real father. Because in the male ejaculate and in the female, she only has about 250,000 eggs. Men have billions and billions of sperm. You could have been anywhere in any person, but you had to come from God in the first place. I don't care who carried you. It's going to be one big family. You'll trace every genealogy, trace right back, and it'll all go back to God. For as all died in Adam, all in Christ will be made alive. Every man in his order. There's a land beyond the river that they call that sweet river. We'll only reach his shores by faith decree. One by one we'll reach his part. Care to dwell with the immortal. Oh, one day they ring those golden bells for you and me. Don't matter if you go out in death. I don't think we will. I believe it's right around the corner. But the chronology, brother, sister, as the living word was vindicated by a prophet, your chronology is vindicated right here. Because after the resurrection comes the rapture. After the rapture comes the tribulation. After the tribulation comes the millennium. And from then on, the sweetest honey in the rock, day by day and every day, for billions of years, the Lord bless you. Let's be dismissed. What's that song? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his worth. Start it out with you.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music to my ear, the sweetest name on earth.
Just relax and sing it.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me and I'll ever adore him. I'll love me into my heart.
If you're lost, sing it.
Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into today. Come in.
Father, we thank you for your rich grace and mercy. We could continue singing praises, songs and chorus unto thee, Lord, for thou art worthy, and it is so good to get into a frame of mind of worship and of love and brokenness before you, Lord, for that does not seem to be our daily course of life. So it's so good to come together to fellowship, and we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of grace and glory that floods our souls and the desire for the knowledge which is spiritual of yourself, Lord, by the Word, should linger with us and stay with us and fill our hearts and our minds constantly, O God. Be with us, Lord, to guide us in the affairs and things of life according to truth and according to our calling, not to our avocation, Lord, that we got to earn and make a living, that's fine. The Lord made nothing ever ascend above our true vocation, our true calling in Jesus Christ. Bless each one there for this morning. I pray that you have. I believe that you have, O God. That not one will leave here without being the richer for the grace and understanding and love and mercy and the wonder of our Savior, and walk in the light of His presence who has come amongst us. Not in this building here, no, Lord. We don't believe that. We believe you are here, but you're in other places too, for you have come to gather your bride around you, the great invisible union. So, Father, now, Lord, we just commend ourselves to your constant presence and our constant awareness of, oh, God, help us this morning. Help us, Lord, we pray, this day and every day, for this is where it lies, the reality of thy presence, the headstone, Christ himself, the husband making himself known to his maid, that she may truly believe. This we know to be true, Lord, and we just defy anything else and bring our minds into captivity to it. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing, Take the Name of Jesus with you.